Hello, everybody, and welcome to week 8 of NFL Insights with Brennan. This year keeps kicking his butt up and down the street and then coming back after smoking a cigarette and kicking it again. He went 5-7 last week, which drops his season-long record to 53-46. He did hit his lock of the week, so he's 6-1 in that regard. We're going to kick it right off and hoping he can right the ship. Let's take it down to Carolina in a battle of first-year QBs, the 0-6 Panthers welcoming in the surprisingly 3-3 Texans.
Yeah, the Texans have already matched their win total from last year. D'Amico Ryans looks like the best hire of any team so far. C.J. Stroud has been playing really well. And yeah, they're 3-3, and they could make a wild card spot if it all goes well. The Panthers, everyone thought they would be a lot better than this. 0-6, they're the only winless team left in the league. Bryce Young hasn't played great, but the weapons he has are probably the worst in the league. They need a wide receiver very badly. They might need more than one even. And the defense has just really been banged up all year long. And a lot of their fans are wishing that they kept Steve Wilks instead of hiring Frank Reich. I think Frank Reich is a decent coach, but he just doesn't have a lot of talent to work with here. And when a team is winless like this for so long, I think it's best to pick a team that does have a couple of wins. So I'll be taking the Texans here. I always pick against them, and then they always seem to win. C.J. Stroud could be the offensive rookie of the year. He really hasn't been playing like a rookie. He's been playing really well, and I think the Texans will get the win here.
All right, let's head to Big D, where the 4-2 Cowboys will welcome in the 3-4 Rams. How do you see this one breaking down?
So I feel like this could be a rough one for the Rams. They'll be at Dallas. It'll be a 1 o'clock game, so it's not going to be their typical time zone. The Dallas defensive line is pretty good. I would say it's the strength of their team. DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, etc. The offense has been okay so far. They did just enough to win against the Chargers. They're 4-2, and they're second in their division, the NFC East. It'll be very hard to it'll be tough for them to pass the Eagles in the standings. And Jerry Jones seemed to indicate they wouldn't make any moves at the trade deadline. We'll see about that. But to me, through the first 7 weeks, the Cowboys look like a team that could definitely make the playoffs and a wild card, and maybe win a playoff game. But they haven't been to an NFC Championship game since 1995, and I don't know if this will be the year they make it, because the Eagles and 49ers look like the clear top two teams in the NFC. The Cowboys are a pretty good team, though, but it remains to be seen how far they'll actually go. But at home against the Rams, I think they will win.
All right, let's head up to Lambeau, where an NFC North battle awaits us as the 2-4 Packers welcome in the 3-4 Vikings, who, despite the absence of Justin Jefferson, might be making a run.
I've been very surprised so far. They are 2-0 without him in the lineup. They beat the Bears, which I figured they had a chance of beating them without Jefferson. But I did not expect them to beat the 49ers and win, and they did. Jordan Addison looks like a star in the making. The offense will be a lot of fun when Justin Jefferson returns. That he will be eligible to return for the Week 10 matchup against the Saints. We'll see if he's activated. The Packers, it's been an up-and-down season, the 4 losses. Jordan Love has played mediocre. It is to be expected, since he's only started about 7 or 8 games, and he was on the bench for 3 years, and the best experience is playing games and not sitting. The wide receivers really aren't that great ever since Davante Adams left. That's been the case. I would say the strength of the Packers is their defense, a lot of talent there. And the Vikings haven't won in Lambeau since 2020. They've lost 2 straight there, and it's been rough there. They've been blown out twice, but Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback in both of those matchups. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think it's going to be a very defensive game, and I don't think there'll be a lot of points. It's a short week for the Vikings. They're on the road. Anything can happen in a divisional game. The records don't really seem to matter in divisional games. I'm going to take the Packers here in the upset since the Vikings are favored. I'll take the Packers to win this one.
All right, let's head out to Indy, where the Colts at 3-4 will be welcoming in the 3-4 Saints. Colts are performing probably about as expected, but the Saints are coming up a little short of expectations, I think.
Yes, the Saints did enter the season as the favorites to win the NFC South. Their defense was really good last year, and I would say it is this year. They were just missing consistent quarterback play, so they signed Derek Carr to a 4-year deal. And he's been up and down. He suffered a shoulder injury against the Packers, but he has not missed any time. And he's been okay. I'm wondering if maybe he should have rested. I'm wondering if he should have recovered for a week or two. He did throw for 300 yards against the Texans before, and then played well enough against the Jaguars. He almost led them to a comeback, but they started off too slow, and he did throw a pick six in that game. The Colts lost to the Browns by 1 point. It was a very frustrating win. There was some bad officiating at the very end, but their defense was carved up, shockingly. I didn't expect the Browns to put up 39 points, but Myles Garrett was one of the reasons why that happened. I think he had like two sacks and a blocked field goal. They also had a defensive touchdown. The Browns had a defensive touchdown, but the Colts put up points. They put up 38 points against a defense that people thought was the best in the league. The Saints had 31. The Jaguars scored 31 points against the Saints, and after a 2-0 start, the Saints just seemed to lack consistency. This is a real toss-up for me, but I think I'll go with the Colts here.
All right, and in another divisional battle, let's head down to Miami, where the 5-2 Dolphins will be welcoming in the 2-5 Patriots.
So the Dolphins are 5-2. All five of the wins have come against teams that aren't that great: Giants, Patriots, Broncos, to name a few. And the two losses were against the Bills and the Eagles. They were both on the road, and both the Bills and the Eagles have really good defenses. And they lost both of them, so people are starting to wonder if the Dolphins can beat good teams. We'll find that out in Week 9 when they play the Chiefs in Germany. But against the Patriots, Tua Tagovailoa is undefeated against them. The Patriots were able to get an upset win over the Bills, but I don't know if they have what it takes to win two divisional games in a row. As I just mentioned, Tua has never lost to the Patriots, and Mac Jones is undefeated against. He's winless against Tua. Tua was able to get one win against the Dolphins before Jones was drafted. And yeah, they're at Miami. They haven't lost a home game yet this season. Anything is possible in divisional matchups, as the Patriots proved against the Bills last week. But I will take the Dolphins here.
All right, let's head to MetLife, where both teams that call MetLife will be playing, call MetLife home, will be playing. The 2-5 Giants, as the home team, will be welcoming in the 3-3 Jets. Dare I say the Giants look better with Tyrod Taylor under center?
That's what it looks like to me. The offense just looks, he just looks more competent than Daniel Jones has, which is a little bit of a problem for the Giants since they signed him to a 4-year contract. His play has been very poor, and he's been injured. He hasn't played since Week 5. And it's not all Jones' fault, as the offensive line has been banged up for weeks, and the wide receiver room isn't all that great. Left tackle Andrew Thomas will miss his millionth game. But Saquon Barkley is back, and he scored a touchdown against the Commanders, and the Giants' defense has played really well the past 2 weeks. The Bills only scored 15 points there, and they held the Commanders to 7. And the Jets, they've got Zach Wilson at quarterback. That's the way it's going to be for a while. There's rumors that Aaron Rodgers could make a return this season, which would be crazy, but I'm not getting my hopes up for it. Zach Wilson was pretty bad last year, but now it seems like he's mediocre now, which is good for the Jets. His play has improved somewhat. All the Jets are asking him to do is pretty much be a game manager, hand it off to Breece Hall, make the plays to the wide receivers when needed, when a play is needed, and just let the defense do its job. The defensive line should probably have a good day against this Giants offensive line. I think Zach Wilson will have a good game. Shouldn't have too many turnovers, although the Giants have a talented defense. The Battle of New York should be a fun one, but I'm going to take the Jets for the first time this season.
Wow, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. We were talking earlier, and you said this looks like probably the best matchup of the week. We have the 4-2 Steelers in Pittsburgh welcoming in the 5-2 Jaguars.
The Steelers always find a way to win games under Mike Tomlin. They've never had a losing record with him as their coach. The Jaguars have lived up to the expectations at 5-2. They're clearly the best team in the AFC South, and maybe they'll make a move at the trade deadline. Zay Jones has been out for weeks, one of their main wide receivers, and he will be out again. The offensive line was really good for the Jaguars against the Saints. They didn't give up a sack, and the New Orleans is a tough place to play on the road, and Pittsburgh is a very tough place to play too. The Steelers offense got Deontay Johnson back. He made some big plays. Najee Harris scored what I believe was his first touchdown of the season. The offense has been the subject of heavy criticism because of their inability to score a lot of points, as well as the play calling of offensive coordinator Matt Canada, who the Steelers fans hate. But yeah, this is probably going to be one of the toughest matchups yet for both teams, I think. And it really is tough to go into Pittsburgh and win, but I think I'm going to take the Jaguars here.
All right, let's head to Washington, where Ron Rivera finds himself on a bit of a hot seat at 3-4. And they'll be playing the 6-1 Eagles. Do you think you throw the division record, or you throw the overall records out here because it's a division game?
I don't think so. I think it's time to worry if you're a Commanders fan. They start off 2-0. Then they got blown out by the Bills. I didn't really think that much of it because the Bills are a good team. The first meeting between these two was wild. It went into overtime. The Eagles won in a shootout, but that's where things seemed to have gone downhill. The Commanders didn't go for two when it was tied when the Commanders tied it up 30-30, I believe, on the final play of the game. It was 31-30. But they chose to kick the extra point instead of going for two. And I would have gone for two there. And that's where it went downhill, as they then proceeded to get blown out by a winless Bears team on Thursday night. And then they lost to a backup. They lost to a Giants team with a backup quarterback. And now defensive ends Chase Young and Montez Sweat are both the subject of trade rumors. And yeah, Ron Rivera entered this season on the hot seat. And if they keep losing games, especially against teams they should be beating, he's not going to be around for much longer. Josh Harris just purchased the team, and he will definitely want to do things his way. It really is a kind of unfortunate for Ron Rivera. His final year with the Panthers, David Tepper had purchased the team a year ago, and then he gets fired with a couple of weeks left to go, and now there's a new owner for the Commanders, and he's probably going to be out of a job soon. The Eagles are 6-1. They defeated the Dolphins on Sunday night. They're 6-1, looking like the best team in the NFC right now. And they made a trade for Titan safety Kevin Byard, so they upgraded at that position. Jalen Hurts seems to be a little banged up, but I think the Eagles will be just fine here. I believe that they will sweep their divisional rival. I'll take the Eagles to win.
All right, let's head to Tennessee, where the 2-4 Titans, who appear as they might be ready to burn it all down, are welcoming in the 4-3 Falcons.
Yeah, I thought the Titans would be a little bit better than this. Ryan Tannehill hasn't been that great. He is out for this game, by the way. As I just mentioned, they traded safety Kevin Byard to the Eagles, so That's another great player traded to the Eagles as they traded AJ Brown to the Eagles last year. This could very well be Derrick Henry's last game with the Titans. That would be very sad for Titans fans, but it's a real possibility. Rookie quarterback Will Levis is expected to start. The Falcons are 4-3 and on top of their division, but Desmond Ridder has been very mediocre. The Falcons might be good enough to win the NFC South, but I don't know about a Super Bowl or anything like that. The offense has been okay through the first... Their offense has been fine recently. Kyle Pitts seems to be catching a lot of passes recently. And the defense has been pretty good all year long. And against a rookie quarterback making his first career start, that the defense should have a pretty good day. I think the Falcons offense will do enough to win. Desmond Ridder had never won a game on the road until last week, and now I think he'll win two road games in a row. So I'll take the Falcons to win this one. It could be rebuild time in Tennessee.
All right, let's head out to Seattle. This one looks like a good one in the 4 o'clock range, where we have the 4-2 Seahawks welcoming in the 4-2 Browns. Browns going to be without Deshaun Watson yet again.
Yes, they are. This trade is really starting to look like a mistake. He hasn't been playing, and he's been bad in the games he's played, with the exception of a couple of games. He was out for a couple of weeks with a shoulder injury, I believe. He played for like a little bit in the first quarter or something like that, and then he was knocked out. He cleared concussion protocol but didn't return, and now he's out again. I know Baker Mayfield has had a so-so. He's had he's had a decent year in Tampa Bay so far, but if I'm a Browns fan, I would probably be wishing that Baker Mayfield was still around. The Browns gave up 3 first-round picks for Watson and gave him a fully guaranteed contract, and the results just haven't been there in terms of Watson's play. They're 4-2, but I don't know how sustainable success will be with starting PJ Walker at quarterback every week. Their defense is really good, but they did get carved up, and the defense needs help from the offense. I don't know if the Browns are going to be scoring over 30 points every week. The Seahawks defense has been much improved from last year. DK Metcalf missed last week's game against the Seahawks, but he'll be back. Rookie wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba scored his first touchdown. The Seahawks really do have a good looking trio there with Lockett, Metcalf, and Smith and Jigba. Rookie cornerback Devin Witherspoon, that was their first round pick. He's been playing really well the past couple of weeks and could be a defensive rookie of the year candidate. This game's at home. I think the offense should put up points against the defense, and I like the defense to the defense should be just fine against PJ Walker. They shouldn't give up too many points. The Seahawks should win this one.
All right, let's go do the Battle of the Birds with the 1-6 Arizona Cardinals welcoming in the 5-2 Ravens. How do you see this one going down?
I don't think this is going to go too well for the Cardinals. This team always seems to play hard for Jonathan Gannon every week, and they always make it a close game, but there's just not enough talent, and it always falls apart at the end for them. Joshua Dobbs hasn't been playing that great for a couple of weeks now, but the good news is that Kyler Murray is expected to come back very soon. It looked as if he had a chance to play this game, but he is listed as doubtful, so that's not going to be happening. So maybe he will return next week, but he will be back very soon. The Ravens destroyed the Lions. That was a really shocking result. I thought the Lions would make it competitive, but no. Lamar Jackson was phenomenal. He did it with his arms and his legs. He did it with his arm and his legs. He had 3 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown. The defense has been pretty good all year long, and they only allowed 1 touchdown, which was like in the fourth quarter. This team has looked like the best team in the AFC North for a couple of weeks now. They're probably going to be the team winning it at the end of the year. Maybe this team will make a move at the trade deadline. I've seen them linked to Derrick Henry. That would be crazy, because their offense would be really good. Their running back room is a bit mediocre, but with their current group, they can definitely win some games, and I think they'll definitely win this one. I just think their game against the Lions, the offense and defense both came together, and it was a great game. It was a great game for the Ravens, and I could see another blowout happening here. I'm going to take the Ravens, and it's my lock of the week.
All right, let's head out to Mile High Stadium, where the 2-5 Broncos will be welcoming in the 6-1 Chiefs.
The Chiefs have beaten the Broncos 16 consecutive times now, so they haven't won. The Broncos have not beaten the Chiefs since 2015. I know, that's really crazy. It could reportedly snow for this game, but that remains to be seen. The Broncos were 1-5, but they did beat the Packers next week. They beat the Packers last week. The offense did just enough to win. The defense has really improved from a couple of weeks ago. These two teams just played each other in week 6 at Arrowhead. The Chiefs won that game 19-8. The defense did a really good job of limiting the offense, but it didn't matter because the offense couldn't score. This is the best defense in the Patrick Mahomes era, although Nick Bolton will be out for their starting linebacker. He will be out for a couple of months with a wrist injury. Wide receiver Justin Ross was just placed on the commissioner's exempt list, but he hasn't really done much anyway. He was hyped up a lot in the preseason. It's a really average group of wide receivers. They did get Mecole Hardman back. There's been rumors they could trade for someone else, but I don't really know who's available. Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are both rumored to be available at the trade deadline, since the Broncos are 2-5 and they'll likely be 2-6. But I don't see them doing business with their arch nemesis here. So yeah, I think it'll be a similar game from the first meeting. I think the Chiefs will do just enough on offense, and the defense should shut down the Broncos offense. I think they'll make it 17 consecutive wins. Mahomes will probably lose to the Broncos someday, but I don't think it'll be this year. So I'm taking the Chiefs to win this one.
All right, let's head out to San Fran, where the 5-2 Niners will be welcoming in the 3-3 Bengals. And Niners have some problems with Brock Purdy and concussion protocol.
Yes, that was a bit of an unexpected development, since he seemed to be okay, but he reported concussion symptoms yesterday or the day before that. So now it looks as if they might play it safe and start Sam Darnold, since their bye is after this week. Darnold has been okay throughout his career. He was picked 3rd overall by the Jets. That didn't work out, probably because they hired Adam Gase, and where they were also terrible at drafting. He played a couple of games for the Panthers last year, and he was pretty decent in those games. And the 49ers are easily the most talented team he's ever been on, so I think he's a pretty good backup to have. The Bengals were on their bye week. They're 3-3. All three of their wins have come against NFC West teams. They beat the Seahawks, Cardinals, and Rams. Joe Burrow's calf should probably be feeling a little bit better after a bye week. T. Higgins has also been a little banged up from what I remember hearing, but he should be good to go here. The defense has been a pretty good unit for the Bengals so far this year. And the 49ers do have lots of talent with Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, but Deebo Samuel will be out once again, and it's looking like left tackle Trent Williams could also be out. As I said, Sam Darnold's a good backup, but against the Bengals, this is a team that always seems to find a way with the Bengals always seem to find a way with Joe Burrow. I think it'll be a tough matchup for the 49ers. And after they started off 5-0, but those two losses were pretty surprising. And the Bengals are a good opponent, or they're a good team. I'm going to pick the Bengals to win, and I think the 49ers are going to drop 3 in a row.
All right, let's head down the coast to Los Angeles, where the Chargers at 2-4 will be welcoming in the 2-5 Bears. Bajent season for the Bears, huh?
Yes, this will be his second game as the starter, as Justin Fields is still not ready to return from a thumb injury. The Chargers sure have been a disappointment at 2-4. They got carved up by the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes had over 400 passing yards. The offense looked pretty good for like the first half, but then I think they got shut out in the second half. Brandon Staley just isn't a good coach. The matchups are only going to get harder from here on out for the Chargers. With game, they will play the Chiefs once again. They've got the Jets, the Lions, the Ravens, and the Bills. So it's going to be really tough for them going forward. But this is a game they should be able to win. The Bears did beat the Raiders last week, but as bad of Josh Brandon Staley might be a bad coach, but Josh McDaniels is even worse. The Raiders did have Brian Hoyer at quarterback as well, but the Bears did, they did win, but I think the Chargers are much more talented than the Raiders are, and this will be his first game on the road. So I'll take the Chargers to win this one.
All right, and let's wrap it up in Detroit on Monday night with the 5-2 Lions welcoming in the 3-4 Raiders. The Lions have to be looking to bounce back after that awful loss.
Yes, I'm sure they've been thinking about it all week. That it was really surprising how they lost, since this is a team that's been competitive. They've won 5 games. That one their one loss before the Ravens game was to the Seahawks, but they lost that one in overtime. This team is still the favorite to win the NFC North. All the other teams aren't really that great. The Lions are at home. As I just mentioned, the Raiders lost to a guy, an undrafted rookie, making his first career start, Tyson Bagent. Brian Hoyer was the quarterback. He was really bad. He threw 2 interceptions, including a pick 6. It looks like Jimmy Garoppolo could return, but regardless of who the quarterback is, the Lions have the clear advantage in terms of talent and coaching. So I'm going to take the Lions here, and this has blowout potential written all over it. We never know, but I like the Lions to win this one.
And there you have it, folks, straight from the horse's mouth. Don't forget to follow Brennan on X, formerly Twitter, at PhD in NFL. Make sure you head over to QBList.com and read all their great content, including the columns that Brennan contributes to. As always, thanks for listening. Subscribe, share, tell your friends.